Welcome. Welcome to the Heathen Machine Chronicles. I'm your host, as always, the Heathen Machine. All right, here we are back for another episode. Episode 16, actually 17. I figured once I get 20, maybe 30 episodes under my belt, I'll start branching out and bringing guests on, you know, because I know it can get boring, probably just listening to me talk and it would be a very egotistical thing of me to think that everyone wants to know what I have to say. And I don't feel that way. I like to share my thoughts. So anyway, so that's going to be coming down the pipeline. It's something I really would want to do because, you know, the value of having a podcast like this is not only do I get to expand on things I write, because social media is literally the worst fucking way to communicate. So you can hear what I have to say verbally. Could hear it, my inflection, how I'm saying it, even though sometimes that can get taken out of context. But I knew when I started this that I would want to have discussions with other people and bring people that I think are interesting to light to everyone else. You know, that's the beauty of podcasts is you kind of gain an audience. And then once you get an audience, you can start expanding, adding more value, more content, and then widening this discussion that I have on here. It is incredibly hot here in Missouri. It looks like a lot of the country is dealing with the heat. I feel bad for the people that live up north who aren't used to this kind of heat. I mean, here in Missouri, this is normal. You know, I when I'm outside working out, you know, it's 98 degrees and I'm used to it. I'm used to being in hot environments, which is, you know, it's weird because when I was younger, I loved the snow. I loved the cold. And I guess I still like it, but everything kind of changed after the Marine Corps because in the Marine Corps, everywhere we went, it was hot. Everywhere. Like we went through the Middle East, Africa, even the parts of Europe, Greece, you know, where we stopped, it was the Mediterranean. It was hot. Afghanistan was fucking hot. And after getting out of the military, moved to Missouri. It's hot. It's hot in the summers here. You know, 100 plus degrees. Sometimes the humidity will match. It just depends. Lately, it's been fairly dry. So if you are somewhere and you're dealing with this heat wave, listen, hydrate. I cannot emphasize that enough. You got to stay hydrated. If you start feeling dizzy or woozy or nauseous and you're outside, get the fuck inside, get in some shade, get in front of a fan and drink fluid. If you can, get Gatorade powder, body armor, that liquid IV, something that has electrolytes in it, minerals, sodium, because when you're out there sweating like that, remember all those minerals in your body are also being sweat out of your system and you have to replace that shit. All right. Don't gamble with that. That's stupid. Once you're a heat casualty, I learned this in the Marine Corps. Once you become a heat casualty, you are susceptible to that for the rest of your life. Right. Once you have like a heat stroke or, you know, have a severe heat injury, your chances of having that happen again are very, very high. And it's like a fighter, right? When you get punched in the mouth and the jaw enough, you develop the glass chin. You can't take a punch anymore. Right. That's kind of the current joke with Luke Rockhold, who I have tremendous respect for. He's a great fighter, but you know, he's just getting blasted in so many of his fights. And like, that's the question now is, can he survive a punch? because in his last few fights, he has not. He's just getting KO'd and KO'd and KO'd. And your body, look, your body is resilient up to a point. You know, we can work out and we can be healthy and eat healthy and do all these other things that we want to do. But even then, it doesn't matter because your body has reached its limit. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can't suddenly redevelop a granite chin, you know, and you can't suddenly develop immunity to extreme heat once you've been a heat casualty. It's just, that's not the fucking way it works. So take care of yourselves out there during this heat wave. I was looking in, I like to scroll through like Google News before I hop on here, see some weird stories. And I think this is in New York, which no surprise, an 83-year-old doctor, just his wife, who's 35. I smell money there. Just gave birth to a kid. So now we've got a kid being raised by an 83-year-old. So at best, he's got 5 years. Oddly enough, that they're more concerned about teaching him Chinese, more specifically, probably Mandarin. Because when people say I'm speaking Chinese, that's not right. Because there's like 7 dialects that fall under that umbrella. So they're convinced that that's the language of the future, and it could be. But seeing how China's population is in a massive decline, I have a feeling that China is going to be struggling more with keeping from imploding than anything else. No, I think English, definitely Mandarin, and probably Spanish will be the 3 languages of the future. I don't think anything will ever supplant English. And not because it's any better, but, you know, the English language, for all of its faults, and there are many, it's still a language that has, you can describe almost anything with the English language. You can mold it, you know, where a lot of other languages struggle to describe things the way English can. And I don't know if that's better or worse. It's just the way it is, which is why when you hear somebody translating something into English, that's like, man, they talk for like 5 minutes. You're like, Jesus Christ, I just said 5 things. And yet it takes the translator twice that to say what I just said in 4 words, you know? So the languages of the future, that'll be interesting. I mean, I think everyone's always thought the umbrellas of Chinese language will be the future, certainly for business, I'd say. But yeah, I think English, Chinese, Spanish, those are going to be the 3 languages for the future. So I flipped a coin basically on what I wanted to talk about, right, in this podcast. And I decided I was going to keep it fairly simple. I wanted to talk about music, right? Because I've actually had I've had people reach out to me and ask me if I listen to music when I'm working out. And it's an interesting question. And I know why people are asking me, because a lot of the people who end up following me on Instagram always end up being, I don't know, it's the same demographic. They're probably also following Dave Goggins. And Dave Goggins, I'm a fan of. I like a lot of his messaging. He's absolutely ferocious, you know, getting it. And I've got so much respect for him. But there are some things that I just cringe at what he says. And there's things I completely fucking disagree with him on. And listening to music is one of them. He has said, it's not a direct quote, I'm paraphrasing, but it's not hard to find. You can look it up. But Dave Goggins has often been critical of like people listening, or at least, you know, listening to music while they work out. I guess in his mind, he thinks it makes you weaker in some possible way, which I don't understand. You know, when someone says these things, usually they're kind of projecting their own insecurities and that they're kind of projecting their own shortcomings when they say stuff like that. Because here's the thing about music, right? I listen to music for everything. If I'm in a certain mood, I find music to match that mood. If I'm working on something, I'm listening to music. When I'm working out 95% of the time, I'm listening to music. When I'm writing, I like to listen to music. Typically, when I'm writing, I like listening to music that doesn't have a lot of lyrics. So mostly like Danheim and Wardruna and instrumental based music, because sometimes the lyrics, if you're writing and you're trying to write a story or you're trying to write a paper, you know, the lyrics can kind of interfere with your thought process sometimes. And next thing you know, you're writing and like the lyrics come bleeding through in some of your writing because subconsciously you're listening to that. Now, music for me is a type of antidepressant, right? When I say when I'm in a mood, I'll listen to music when I'm in a certain mood. So if I'm in this weird, dark, depressive kind of, you know, mood, I'll listen to music that matches that. If I'm in a great mood, I'll listen to music that matches that. But just so we're clear, just because you listen to music to pass time, or if you're going on a long run, that doesn't make you weaker, okay? Here's the thing. When I was in Afghanistan, I listened to music all the time. I listened to music when I was working out. After patrols or during downtime, I would just lay in my rack and I would listen to music, read and listen to music. Oddly enough, listening to music didn't make me any more mentally weak. It didn't affect my ability in combat when I couldn't listen to music at all. So I don't understand why, you know, Dave Goggins has this take on music, right? I mean, from his perspective, I guess I can get it. His messaging is all about bettering yourself and conquering your inner bitch, like he always says. But I think equating listening to music while you're doing a difficult activity, I think that misses the mark completely. Because for me, music is very motivating. It can be very motivating. But I'm also self-motivating, and I can be, when I'm not listening to music, it doesn't change anything, right? It doesn't somehow diminish my ability to muster up my willpower or anything like that, right? So this thing of listening to music when you're working out. Look, if you like doing that, then fucking do it. I've done it my whole life. Especially when I was in a gym, I couldn't fucking stand listening to everyone talk. Here's the thing. A lot of current gym goers, you know, and the cycle always continues, but, you know, complaining of people in the gym who are just lounging and talking and it's a social thing. And now it's ramped up because you've got all these people on social media that in their phones and they're recording everything. And, you know, it's like, they probably never ask if people in the background want to be in their stupid videos, but they're doing it. So like, I always wore music because when I'm in the gym, when I used to go to a gym, right? When I get there, I was all about business. I wasn't there to fucking talk. I wasn't there to make friends. I was there to train to better my physical self and work through things mentally. That's why I was going to the gym. After my workout, I would be more than happy to talk, chat, whatever, wave. But during my workouts, that's the time to train, right? There's a time to socialize. There's a time to train. So when I would have my music on, I could tune all that shit out. It was very easy. And then people, you could ignore them. I mean, I've ignored plenty of people and they're trying to get my attention. I just have zero interest, right? I was that guy in the gym who'd come in. I'd have a hat on. I'd pull it down so you could barely see my eyes. I'd throw my headphones on and I'd get to it. You know, didn't just you walk into the gym on a mission, people will just leave you the fuck alone, you know, and we all know those people. Every gym has that person, those people who come in there and you're like, okay, these fuckers are here to train. So music. I love music, right? I couldn't imagine living my life without listening to music. And it's funny because I meet so many people who don't see music the same way. Like when they listen to music, they're just probably going to turn on the radio in their car and listen to whatever garbage that the stations are playing, right? And they won't really go beyond and looking for all this new kind of music. Cause like I'm a music collecting hobbyist. I love finding new music, metal, but I like other genres, but metal and in genres of metal and electronic music and classical music and reggae and American reggae, all of that stuff. Look, music, there's a reason why music kind of like speaks to us, right? There's a reason why music, it moves us. When you understand music theory and you understand these concepts of minor and major scales, right? Meaning the tone of the notes being played. It's funny when I realized this, it was such an epiphany when I started playing guitar and when I started learning about music theory. Now, let me make this just real side note. Music theory is the Western way of looking at music. That's important to understand that because music theory does not apply when you go east, right? Like Indian music, traditional Indian music, the music theory does not apply because they follow a completely different set or a completely different way of music tonality. So when I talk about music theory, I'm talking about the Western way of music and minor and major scales. But I learned that I loved the minor scale, like blues. Blues is often played in a minor scale. Most metal is played in a minor scale. I want to say, I think Slayer, like take the song South in Heaven. I think that's an F sharp minor, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the key it's played in. So I love minor scales. I love minor chords and all that stuff. And music is just an important part of my life. And when I hear people like Dave Goggins eschewing music as if while you're I don't know, working out, as if somehow it makes you weaker, I guess I don't understand that, right? Because there there's plenty of people, especially let's take mixed martial artists. There's plenty of UFC fighters who listen to music while they work out. And of course, they go into the octagon and they can't listen to music, but they still perform. So don't look, if you want to listen to music while you're doing the things you want to do, whether it's creative or physical, then do it. You know, don't let that kind of rhetoric stop you from enjoying something as simple as music. Again, I kind of get where Dave Goggins is coming from. But for Dave Goggins, he's obviously someone who wants to suffer in silence. You know, for him, that means he's overcoming his demons or whatever. But missed in all that is acknowledging that like everybody handles that kind of stuff differently, right? There's plenty of people that can listen to music and it'll motivate them, get them in a great mood, and they can still perform without that music. So like, don't, if you're one of these people who sees listening to music as a crutch, that's on you, man. I mean, that's your own shortcoming coming through. That just means you have a problem with that. Not me, not anyone else, because I love listening to music. I love playing music. So if you want to listen to music while you're working out, then fucking do it. Okay, that's my bit about music. Another thing I want to talk about, I've been thinking about this a lot. I wrote a post about this the other day called The Solitary Beast. And I wanted to touch on solitude, isolation, loneliness, when one is too much and it's time to sort of reintegrate. And this is based on my own experience. So in that post, you know, I talk about this sort of this philosophy of the solitary beast, right? This person who keeps their own company, who sweats and bleeds under the adulation of no lights, no fanfare, no one at the gym staring at them or whatever they're doing. The ones who are out there day in and day out, forging themselves into something better, pushing past their own limits, even when they're telling themselves they can't, right? Sheer willpower. Like, because again, there's no one there. There's no one there yelling encouragement at them. Yet they do it. And they do it with no one around. There's no one cheering them on or anything like that. And these people ask for nothing, right? These solitary beasts ask for nothing. It's not about attention or acknowledgement. It's a philosophy, right? And the only reward for this is understanding that you can still do better and be better. It's understanding that improvement never stops. It never yields. And where willpower has to be ironclad, right? And your appetite for forward progress needs to be insatiable, right? That's this philosophy of the solitary beast. But here's the thing. So, excuse me. So back in 2019, I separated. I was married. And when I went through this in the divorce, I decided I was going to spend a certain amount of time on my own in solitude, not in a relationship, not anything like that. You know, I'd already lived out in the forest at that point. And, you know, a lot of people romanticize living this life of solitude. A lot of people romanticize that having that freedom of not having to compromise with anybody. And it's an incredible feeling. Right, this freedom to kind of do whatever you want. You don't have to compromise. But the thing with solitude, right, is in today's day and age, you can still find places where you can enjoy solitude. And I think everyone should take time out of a week or whatever to experience this concept of solitude where you're alone with your own thoughts. There's nothing else there. Because, you know, we live right now in a society, I think, that is actually very much afraid of being left alone with their own thoughts. And you don't have to do anything but look at social media and people out in public on their phones, right? Like, even at home, and I'm just as guilty of it at times, it's like we would rather just put this attention and focus on these things in front of us on our phone, then setting it down and just thinking about things, what you want to do, where you've been, where do you want to go? How can you make yourself a better person? You know, instead we spend all this time scrolling through our phones and getting angry at dumb shit on social media, letting it trigger us and things like that. So solitude is a very healthy antidote for that. But the problem is most people they can't handle that, right? Like, so there are people who get into relationships and then they get out of them and then they immediately get into other ones. They're like these relationship jumpers, right? Because, and I've met so many of them, it's like these people who, for some reason or another, they just can't be by themselves. They can't be on their own. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but sometimes it's really good to just be by yourself, to be with your own thoughts. There's a lot of value in that. But the thing is, with solitude, a lot of people romanticize that concept of solitude, of living in a cabin in the woods, surrounded by nature. And it's great for a little bit. But after a while, you do realize the importance of a network. It can be small, but you understand See, when I decided to live sort of this intentionally, or this intentional solitude, right? This life of intentional solitude. I didn't give myself a certain amount of time that I would do it for. After my separation and divorce, you know, I sold my, you know, the original homestead and hit the road, and I was living in this RV. And even then I was boondocking in these super remote locations. So I was never really around anyone. It was still just me and my dogs, left with my thoughts. I didn't have internet or anything like that. So I read a lot, and I'm a writer. So I work on my story ideas. And fast forward that to right now, I live in the forest, and it's been great. You know, it's allowed me to pursue my creative endeavors, right? Living this life of intentional solitude. Now, I'm not completely disconnected. You know, I have this podcast, I post on social media. And now I started jiu-jitsu, and that brings me to my next thing I wanted to talk about, with the solitude and isolation and loneliness. Because there will come a point where solitude will become isolation, right? And that's something you have to recognize, right? And I felt like I was getting to that point where I've been alone now for a couple of years, right? I haven't tried dating or anything like that, right? That's not what this has been about. I've had zero interest. I've just been focused on progressing the things that I want to do, because I have the opportunity. I don't have kids or anything like that. You know, I didn't make bad decisions in my life. So look, if you have kids, I'm not. Yeah, whatever. I said what I said. So, but after a while, you know, this idea of solitude, it can become isolation when you are away from people for too long. You know, so part of, like, I joined jiu-jitsu, and I needed to embed myself in a community of like-minded people. And there's a lot of value in that, right? And like with so many other things, you've got to find that balance where you can immerse yourself in solitude when you need to, right? But also understanding that there's a point where that solitude has served its purpose, and it's time for you to go forth and build a tribe or rejoin your tribe or whatever it is, because it can get really lonely. When I was on the road, I loved it. It was a really, really cool experience. I got to travel across the United States and see places that, you know, most people never even knew were there, like the Shattuck Windmill Museum in Oklahoma. Super cool little snapshot into, you know, frontier history. In the Old West. So it was a great experience. But, you know, there were times where I had to acknowledge to myself that it would have been pretty great if I had someone else to share that with. Right? I mean, some of the moments I had were amazing. And there are plenty of private moments that I'll just never share with anybody. Right? Because the minute you share that, it kind of loses its magic a little bit. But there's a value in that, you know, a lot, especially now. It seems like people now more than ever want to get away from the madness of crowds, and for good reason, because right now it seems like the crowds are kind of crazy, you know, especially into these very congested cities. I mean, if that's all you know, right? If all you ever know is just this crowded, congested, city-like existence, then the idea of solitude is probably completely alien to you. I mean, you can't even see the stars, right? Because of light pollution. How can you possibly fathom the concept of solitude? But it's important, right? But it's also important that you're tied into a healthy community of people that are supportive, right? That, you know, and when you can balance those things out, I think that's where you will find that true nirvana, that Zen state, that happy balance where you've got these moments where you can separate yourself from the noise, enter your own thoughts, and you're not afraid of them. You can be alone for a while, and you can sift through all of that stuff, right? All of the things that are going through your head. Because look, I'm 40 years old. Look, don't think this shit doesn't weigh on me. I'm 40 years old. I'm not married. I'm divorced. I have no kids. I live a very weird life outside of the margins. And I get down on myself sometimes because I feel like I should be much further than where I'm at, you know, and that's, and when you, especially when you're by yourself, right. And you kind of don't have anyone to, in your immediate space to mull over ideas with, you know, that can be challenging. But but let me flip that around, where I find that people that can deal with solitude tend to be mentally stronger. And I'm not saying that's better or worse, but that just, I think you have to, there has to be a mental toughness there for someone to really be able to embrace solitude, right? Going, and it can be something as simple as going to the fucking movie by yourself, isn't it? It's crazy. We live in a society, right, that's so, that I think struggles so much with being alone, that when they see someone eating at a restaurant alone or going to the movies alone or something like that, like, people can't fathom that. They think it's weird or like, oh. But, right, they don't understand that. It's like, look, some people can enjoy their own company. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're one of those people. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're one of those people who just has to always be around people. Right? I know plenty of individuals who couldn't function without constantly having people in their lives. I mean, that's okay too. But the reality is, as life moves on, you know, in the rare cases where groups of friends stay together, all that shit goes away. And in the very end, whether you have kids, whether you have a big family, when you are slipping away into that forever sleep, you're going it alone. No one's coming with you. It is a lonely journey. Now, I'm not justifying that as to why you should live a life of solitude, because ultimately it's about balance. It's about being okay with being by yourself at times. And it's okay knowing that there is a huge value in having a group of people, a community, whatever you want to call it, that you can call upon and support each other, because that is also important. Because we are human. And in a way, we're social creatures, but we're only social creatures with our social groups. Go beyond that and we become not very social creatures. You know, we can become hostile. So I agree. Yeah, we're social creatures, but we're only social when we're with like our group. So maybe we're social, but we also love war and we love killing stuff and fighting and, you know, just look at social media. Look how angry people are on social media. It's all these, you know, political groups versus other political groups. Nonsense. I just wanted to touch on that. I wanted to touch on music. These two things that I've been thinking about this week. Music for the soul, right? Listen to music if you like music. If you love listening to music. Listen to it when you're working out. Listen to it when you're sad, when you're happy. Listen to it when you need to pick me up. When you need a little motivation, right? Some people drink coffee. Some people take ungodly amounts of pre-workout. Just listen to some music. Get you into the mood. And I wanted to touch on this idea of solitude and loneliness. And that we as humans tend to romanticize things like that. But here's the problem when we romanticize about things like living a life of solitude or even broadening it. People like to romanticize like, man, I'd love to do this. But what people don't romanticize about is the struggle that will be involved with every fucking endeavor you ever come into. When we romanticize about and imagine us doing these things, we always imagine the best case scenarios, that everything's working out. And we always seem to forget that to get from point A to point B, it's going to be a very long, rough road. Ups and downs and failures. And some people will never make it to point B because they'll just quit. They'll just quit. So I think a lot of people are romanticizing about living a life of solitude right now. And that's good, but just remember that there has to be a balance there, like with anything else, right? So if you want to live that life of solitude, then do it. But also make sure you have a fucking tribe. Make sure you've got a small community. Just make sure you're not completely cutting yourself off, because it will quickly go from solitude to isolation. And isolation is not a good place to be, right? Isolated is when you are cut off. You don't have anyone to reach out to. You don't have anybody. And then all of a sudden your thoughts can turn really dark. And people forget how powerful our minds are. And you know, that's the one thing Dave Goggins hits on a lot, is how powerful our minds are. Our minds will always be the limiting factor in everything we do, right? Our mind. And when you're alone and you're isolated, your mind can go into some really weird places. And that's me telling you this from experience, right? I mean, there are people that live far more rural than I do, but I'm pretty goddamn rural. I mean, if I'm sure a lot of you have seen some of my drone footage, like I'm deep in the woods. You know, I live in a county that has, I think, maybe 14,000 people total. And the biggest town in this county doesn't even have 2,000 people, right? So, and that's this whole surrounding area of southern Missouri. It's mostly Mark Twain National Forest and cattle land. So it's pretty, yeah, I'm pretty solitary. But I've been going to jiu-jitsu and I'm getting out there. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to overly romanticize this concept of solitude. I don't want to fool people. I don't want to misguide people into thinking living a life of solitude is this fucking beautiful thing, because it can be. But remember, I'm going to keep saying this, balance, balance, balance. You got to balance that out. You got to balance out that solitude experience with some human experience. You know, don't forget that. As much as I tend to not trust society, there's certainly people, individuals that I do trust, right? I will never trust the whole of humanity, right? And I think anyone that does is a fool, but that's my opinion. And they'll think that of me, you know, because I've had people say that on some of my posts, you know, and that's okay. That's just some people, again, some people couldn't imagine living a life where they're not surrounded by people in the city, right? And all of a sudden it's quiet and silent and you're left with just your thoughts. And that terrifies so many people, right? So you got to find that balance. Well, I think I've ranted enough. What do we talk about? A little bit about music, a little bit about solitude and isolation. You know, this is one of those podcasts where, you know, I want to keep experimenting with what I do on this podcast. I want to keep mixing it up. You know, I don't want to go too hard in one direction. Like, I don't want to always be rah-rah motivation and just always just talking about tactical conditioning. You know, I've always wanted this podcast space to be a broad podcast where we kind of discover and talk through a bunch of things. And some people would say that's not a good idea. You should always focus on a niche, you know, focus on a one thing and get really good at that. And I've never been good at that. I've always been better at having a broad approach, because that's the kind of person I am. So hopefully, you know, you find some value in this. If you like music, listen to it. Listen to it all the fucking time. It's not going to make you any more less mentally weak. if you are thinking about escaping the city and you want to live this life of solitude, just understand that when you do that, you got to find that balance. Okay. So find that solitude, be alone with your thoughts, but don't stay there, right? Don't isolate yourself, reel yourself back in and understand that there's certainly value in having a community of people you trust. If you like this podcast, I'd appreciate it if you left a review or a rating, because that really helps. I'd be even more grateful if you shared it with your friends and everyone else and told people about it. So we can really start building on this. I release episodes of the podcast every Wednesday. The Heathen Machine Chronicles can be found wherever major podcasts can be found. I think at some point in the near future, I'll do maybe even some YouTube video-based stuff, and that'll be when I actually can get people to interview. You can find me on Instagram at The Heathen Machine, and actually, you can find me on TikTok now at The Heathen Machine as well. Stay hydrated. Like I said, it's going to be hot. Stay hydrated. Take care of yourselves. Be kind, but be violent when you need to be. Love completely, but be ready for action. From deep in the Ozark foothills, Heathen Machine out.